my laptop, I am able to run some bulletin covers without as much problem as I was on my regular computer. And I couldn't resist putting this. The world hates, is in the state of hating me, that is Christ speaking. And he continually hates you in a present tense. It's been a while since I've used that cover. Since the world hates you, should have an S in there, I didn't see that. You know that it hated me before it hated you. Be not surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. World system. And so panic not. The world system has this issue called the sin nature. And it has an adversity to believers. And so don't be panicked when we understand that. Okay, let's pray and we'll move into Romans chapter 8 and another element of imputed reality. Father, may you bless us as we consider your word. We're thankful for the awesome material that is found throughout the 8th chapter of Romans. 39 verses of material that is in super important revelation. And we'll be focusing on just one and the context. And so may you guide and direct as we study today in Christ's name. Amen. The verse of our focus today is Romans 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Sounds pretty simple. Sounds pretty upfront. But it's another one of those verses that we have been working on. That fitting in its context is a super, super blessing. I was encouraged on Thursday to be able to spend a few minutes with Brother Roy. I say I was blessed. I'll say it, Roy, you're always a blessing to me. And has been from the day that he was in class, at least before, probably. Because of his diligence and his love for Jesus Christ and his love for the Word of God. And even with the difficulties of physical health, he's thinking about Scripture. And why did I bring him up now? Not just, he's in tremendous pain a lot of the time. Sometimes meds help, sometimes they don't. And the conversation, when you walk in and we stopped and talked to him and he said, I'm looking at these neuters in this passage of Scripture. I thought, oh boy, this is what's good. This is why we get together. We're in the candy store. When he's looking at Greek grammar and talking about grammar and the fun of it. And the funny part was, I am looking at neuters today and it's a different passage than he was looking at. And there's some interesting neuters in here, and they're very different, that tie to this idea that we're relating to, grace that is imputed to us and is interesting now in our position and is something we will receive in the future. And that line in 32, how shall he not together with him, that is together with Christ, freely give us all things? Now I'm cheating because I'm just reading the King James. Because the clue is in the Greek. It's not in the English. And we'll talk about how grace, my title, comes from grace. Because, well, let's do it. The verb that is translated in verse 32 is translated, freely give us all things. That's the word gerizomai, which is the word graciously give. Undeservedly, deservedly give. Together with Christ, I look at that and I can't help but just get maybe a teeny bit emotional about that. Because of my relation with him, grace is manifested, and he says all things, and things is a neuter. And we'll be looking at that. Now, where are we in this series? We will have done 52 days next week, 52 Sunday. Yeah, we did fudge a little in a couple of them, so we really have already done 52 messages plus. We are going to probably be through right after the first of the year with this series. I know some of you found me out and know what I'm doing. And there's a reason. And that is, when we talk about imputed reality, we have been talking as we've gone over the core of the material and moved it into imputed reality in our position in Christ. And so what I've done, I've gone through the ends. We went through all of the ends, and we had peppered it up a little with some soons. So we got that picture. Every bit of what we have in Christ Jesus, in our position, in the person of Christ, that individual that we share with, is something that is an imputed reality. And today we're going to take and lift a foot to make the big step. And I could have put it in the In Christ book in a different place and didn't, because I didn't make the link there. It was interesting. We'll link it today. In our imputed reality in Christ, we are seen as those who are highly favored, highly graced. We sing that, we didn't do it today. We'll sing it next week probably, unless we're in heaven. And then we'll find a better version of it there. More details. You know, I have a funny feeling that if we had a chance to sing In the Beloved in heaven, we would be singing it for months and never sing it in a different word because we'd have so much more to sing. But that's imputed reality. So I've gone through ends, done a mix with soons to make it work. And then today I'm bridging into four passages, and we're not doing them all today, four passages that use the together with preposition, that identifiable togetherness. And that's what we see whenever we sing In the Beloved. When he sees my Savior, then he sees me. Think of that. And these things we've been talking about, it's imputed reality. He sees by imputation, and it's to us a reality, and in his mind, because he's God and sees all things at once, it's an imputed actuality. And so we're going to bridge from highly favored in the beloved over to the fact that he is going to favor us with all things, with Christ. You see where we're going? And so we have three more that will work. And so we have done some soons already, and this is positional. We talked about being crucified together, with having died together, having been buried together, having been raised together, having been seated together, and by implication between this thing of being raised together and seated together, being ascended together with Christ. In him, we got to the right hand. In him, we are at the right hand or in the right hand. So we have this unique opportunity. And so it's interesting. We have touched these in different ways in the series because I think it is supremely important that people understand that when we talk position in Christ, we're talking about imputation. And that leads us right back to substitution in that matter. And so that's why we are working in this manner. And so it's interesting when we talk about giving. There are two verbs in the Greek New Testament. that have the idea of give that are dominant. One is didymi, and in the verse we're looking at is paradidymi instead of just didymi, and that's to free, just freely give. Didymi, depending on how you trace it, whether it goes to Doron or Doria or some of these other words, it's an absolute free, no strings attached gift. But then you have charizomai, let's read it, spell it right. And that is for graciously given. It involves the manifestation of God's love, which is grace, which is directed to us as saints because we're in Christ. And that is the verb, that is the word that's translated freely given in Romans 8:32. And so when we see that, he's going to give us all things. And there's one of my neuters. And that leads us to how many neuter forms are in Romans 8. Okay, just a sec. I've got to get my boxes. Okay, you can't see this anyway. So why should I show off? Yeah, let's do it this way. I don't have three hands. Okay, you see I have box. Can you barely see those little boxes? The boxes I have in this is the Greek text from down here. I've got three pages. And I boxed the neuters. I put boxes on them, and for me, I needed it so I could study this. And there are boxes here, not as many as towards the end. There are neuters that pepper Romans 8. And they're supremely important, but they're different than the neuters that are so important in Colossians 3. We have done some work in that. Same kind of thing. I did the same thing for me when I studied them, these neuters. The dominant neuter in Romans 8 is the word pneuma. That is the word spirit. And it is all over the place. There are ways you could count it. There are about 20 of them. Not quite. Pneuma can be spelled spirit with a capital S. It can be spelled spirit with a small s. And it can be both ways. So it deals with the human spirit. It deals with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, if it has holy in front of it, you know who that is. And the question, and in our scripture reading, for example, we read verse 26. And in 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, also helps us with our weaknesses, and I'm translating, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, as we have obligation to. But the Spirit, capital S, himself, and I translated it himself, I know it's a neuter, the itself is neuter, but the word Spirit is a proper name, and so it should be translated as a person himself. And so it says himself, maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so you can see here, the capital S's, but if you skim down, it's really intriguing how many are in here with pneuma. You have, I think I did it, just a second. I do these things all spread out and it gets me in trouble. Come on. I didn't do that in handwritten. Okay, there it is. Holy Spirit. I could count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Well, I did 20. That was my guess. That happens to be in Roman 3, under A1. Human spirit is 8, 6, and 16, and it talks about a spirit of bondage. Spirit of bondage. And that it deals with, well, there's a question there. We won't be so worried about it. We have a spirit is a dominant neuter. There's a neuter adjective derived from pas, which is pon or pos. We will talk about that neuter demonstrative pronoun. We're going to look at those two things because they become important as we move down through the passage toward the end in that. And so all or these things, neuter things, we'll talk about these. What is interesting, we're dealing with this soon preposition again. And I do not mind when people think of what I do as someone who emphasizes that soon preposition. I've done it for years. I suppose there's, I mean, if I want a legacy, I'd rather have a soon legacy than a later. No, that's not what I meant. No, I have a reputation for emphasizing that togetherness we have in Christ. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's beautiful if you want to know. And so we share together with all Christians in Christ as a unity in the Christ. And that makes a big difference. And so it's interesting. He's going to talk about some things, and he uses some terms. Often when you have feminines and masculines mixed, in Greek, once there will be a neuter used to try to describe both of them. And so we'll run into some of that. But we're looking at a soon form here in Romans 8:32 and relating to it there. But let's go to Romans 8, and I want to go back to verse 28. 28 is a very, very familiar passage. And it's a passage that we need to understand in order to be blessed by it rather than be hoodwinked by it. How many times have you heard that here was this carnal believer, you knew they were carnal, and they were in an accident and had problems with their lives being affected by an accident, and they'll say, well, this guy's a believer, and we know that all things work out to good for them that love God. And you know that that carnal Christian didn't have enough love for anything. The potential was there because he was a believer. But he didn't have love because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's a present tense here. And so the potential, you know, it will work out for good if you are spiritual and directing a love toward God. If we want to break it out, it's not hard to break out. And what it says, let me just do some of that breaking out. We intuitively know that the ones who are loving the God, all things, there's a neuter, will work out together. There's our soon. And so this thing of loving God to them who are called according to his purpose. They skip the gloving part as a problem. Yeah, when God disciplines, it might be good. Because if divine discipline, as he chastens a saint, brings a positive change in behavior, which gives God glory, then it does work out for good. But if there's no response to it, then what happens? It's not working out for good for many people, either that person or those who are around. And so be careful not to misapply that passage to a carnal believer. You know, God in his plan is trying to shape them up. God doesn't fail because they don't get shaped up, because God has the ultimate penalty, and that is he can put some people to sleep when we understand it. And so here you have these who were called ones existing down from his purpose, and I don't want to preach that verse. Well, I would like to, but I won't. In 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. He knew beforehand, before, gnosko, it's a short form. He knew beforehand. He also did predestinate. When you read the word predestinate, the Greek word has no destiny in it. You hear destinate, it sounds like destiny. What that word actually means is to set the bounds, to mark the horizon. Now, when I said mark the horizon, the word is horizo with a pro in front of it. And our word horizon comes from it. It's the bound. It's an interesting, I've been reading a bit this week about some of the turf I've been in the past. And I've always had a kind of a favorite place. I like to go there. Though it's getting more, the congestion is terrible. And that is Lake Tahoe in California and Nevada. 2/3 in California, 1/3 in Nevada. It's one of those fond childhood memories that I have of being able to go to Lake Tahoe and just enjoy the mountains. And that's the High Sierra. I don't mind the Cascades, but I prefer the High Sierra. Why? Because the High Sierra tends to be uplift, not volcanic. There is volcanism over there, a lot of it. But there's the huge granite walls in some of my favorite places to be. And Lake Tahoe is up there in the middle of the granite, it's about the sixth deepest lake in the world. I didn't realize it. Crater Lake may be ahead of it as far as being one of the deeper. And so at Lake Tahoe, I was reading about Lake Tahoe with the gold rush, with the Comstock Lode over in Virginia City. And Lake Tahoe is not as pretty as it used to be, and it wasn't because of the fire this year. The big problem with Lake Tahoe was they took out hundreds of millions. Well, no, not hundreds of millions. Millions, let's just say millions of board feet of lumber from there for the Comstock load. They stripped the High Sierras of lumber and they put a railroad in. In fact, put more than one. There's some awesome stories about it. The railroad, what does it have? Two tracks. What was interesting as time went on, they had a narrow gauge railroad, and that train had to go between those two narrow tracks. It got bigger as they got bigger logs. What was interesting, too, they had a flume, or several flumes, which meant you could put a big log in this big V-shaped flume, and it would flood the water down, and it would roll these logs miles down to the valley floor in what's called Washoe Valley. But what? There were curbs. There were some guys that decided they were going to take and test the flume. And so they took two logs, carved them into kind of boats, and they probably broke all speed limits. Going down there because they couldn't get anything to go as fast as those logs did. All six of them that went spent the night in bed the next night because they were so frazzled after riding these logs down. What am I talking about? Bounds kept the logs in. Hey, could you imagine riding a log and looking down maybe 100 feet on each side? And you're going 60 miles an hour. And you're just sitting in this little, that's what happened. And many people thought that was a fairy tale. The funny part was there were millionaires that did that. A couple of them were millionaires that rode that crazy thing down. Curbs. You know, when airplanes land, what do? They have a landing strip. And if you're going to have a safe landing, you stay within the horizons on the sides of that landing strip. You don't drive off of the highway. If you go through a rail, it's probably going to be sayonara on that. So this word is horizon, and it's not destiny. It sets the limits. That's what I'm trying to say, and I shouldn't illustrate it as much. And that's predestinate is really set the horizon. And he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Conformed together with the image of his son. There's a soon. Take the form, the morphe. We teach in Hebrew and Greek about morphology. If you don't have morphology, you have no way to handle the language. Because morphology deals with morphe, forms. And if you can parse a verb by its form, you've got the beginnings for syntax. And this is what happens. And so to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Little big, I'm not a little, it's a big hint as to how we relate to him. Because he's seen as the firstborn, and we will share in the benefits that are going to be referred to at the end of verse 32. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. This call is a call to salvation. And it's the word kaleo. These he marked off beforehand, he called. And them he also justified. And I translated that declared righteous. It's too easy to misunderstand justification. It actually means to be declared righteous. And that's the idea here. And them whom he justified, he glorified as a result. And so you have these things are identified by verbs, and you have some masculine and feminine. It's kind of interesting. I look at this tutos form. You have masculines and the neuter, and in fact, verse 31, it uses the neuter. What shall we say then to these things, and that's a neuter in that. What will we say? Now, I put in the notes, just in case somebody would be interested, I should have thrown this at Pascal, because he should have this all mastered. When it says, what shall we say? You look at erumen, is a word here, and you say, where did that come from? It's not too hard to parse. Well, maybe it is a little harder to parse. It's a future active indicative. But the root is the problem. And the root is Lego. It does not look like that at all. And so I put Lego in my notes so I would remember. But I put it in there so Pascal could get it. No, I wasn't really picking on him. It is a future active indicative. And so... So he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, let's do it right. I think it should be since God is for us. You have a verbless clause, which would be in an indicative mood. So it should be a since. Since God is for us, he stands as our substitute. He stands in our place. And that is what is accomplished. And so since God is, and I didn't put it in my notes as an indicative mood, but that's what it would be. The verbless cause is should be indicative. And so it should be translated since on behalf or since on behalf of us, who can be against us. And here you have an adversative form of, wrong verse, the reason I can't see it. I've got kata on my brain, on behalf of us, delivered him. Okay, I just missed the kata. It's right. I just didn't look in the right place. Okay, so then it's an adversive, by adversive, I mean against us. Prepositions are crazy in Greek. They're supremely important, but we have to look at context and how they work with different cases. And that's what happens. And so that leads us to verse 32, which we are focusing on because of this part of our position. He spared not his own son. The word spare is a good translation. There are not a lot of ways to throw other words in Romans 8:32. He spared not his own son. In God's decree, which he's just talked about, in that decree, God the Son took on a human nature and became God incarnate. The Son became Jesus in his birth. Ultimately, he was Christ, or I should say ultimately, he was Christ in his coming as Messiah, as a human. He becomes Christ, the glorified, resurrected one as a result of his resurrection. He uses the word Son. That close bond that never had been severed in any way was somewhat severed in the incarnation, because here one of the persons of the Godhead took on a human nature, which had never happened. And that human nature was ultimately at the end of his earthly ministry, when he died on the cross, was shortly severed in the realm of his human nature. So when he is the very Son, the very person of the Godhead, by design, by decree, did this. And he says, but delivered him up for us all. Now that's a paradidomy word. And it means to give over, to hand over, delivered to, freely give him. This is the idea. There was no strings attached when he did this. And we could talk more about paradidomy, but it's in verse there, it's active indicative. At the point in time, he's looking at the sending of the Son through the incarnation. But he delivered him up for us all, on behalf of us all. There's huper. As a substitution, okay, that's huper, for us all. And so he came as our substitute, and for all of us. And the us in this context are believers, are Christians. Grace believers. Now we come to the line that becomes very, very important. And that is, how shall he not together with him also graciously give us all things? Wow. That's a hint. And we're not going to be like misers with gold when we get these all things. We're going to enjoy them as Christ does. And we're not being miserly. We are just going to have a wonderful time when it comes to sharing the things that we have together with Christ in his human nature. And this is future. How do I know? Because the word charizomai is a future tense verb. And so it's a future middle indicative. Will he not graciously give together with him? And so you see, the soon is a little prepositional phrase. It's not one of those compound forms we spend so much time looking at. Most of them tend to be compounds. Here it's just a soon in a prepositional phrase. He will freely give us together with him, together with the one who he did not spare, together with the one who he freely gave to us all. And so he freely will give us all things. Neuter, plural. And so we will have, and it's accusing neuter, plural. The all things word is a pain. Sometimes the use of an interlinear can be confusing. Because like the word Lego, which doesn't even begin to look like Lego, you don't have an ability to identify what it is. But this all things is from the root pas. And it has three different declensions or elements of declension with cases. And so you end up with more than a dozen different forms, and they don't always look alike. Pas, pontes, pontas. I mean, you can see that they sound different. And he gives us all things. He will in the future. I put that on the In Christ chart under possession, or position, I mean. It's there. Third from the bottom. Fourth from the bottom. And we will understand, I trust, better why it is where it is when we look a little further. The all things. And here on number three, I have the stats that I read earlier about the neuter pneuma. 20 times in chapter 8 is used of the Holy Spirit. Twice it's used of the human spirit. Once it's used of the spirit of bondage. So it's kind of interesting. That's hard to count because there's some places it occurs twice in the Holy Spirit. So there are lots of neuters in here, which can be very confusing because sometimes you have a neuter article in front of the spirit. And so that creates more interesting things. And so what I want to look at are these keys that are in this segment, all things is penta, to give all things, in just a second, I'm going to get my sights lined up here, penta in verse 32. It's a neuter nominative plural adjective. Oh, that goes clear back to 28, that's what I had. I didn't put verses in here, that's what happens. But anyway, when you look in 28, we know that all things, the all things work together. So you have this articular plural. Let me fix it so I can put it in my other 28. And so we say, what will we say concerning these things? Okay. When I did this, I was typing this very quickly, or trying to be quick. There we go. So when I end the outline, I'll go ahead and have you put verses in. What shall we say to these things? There's that Lego form. What shall we say? I have these marks, and I just am having fun trying to find what I'm looking for. Okay, verse 31. What therefore will we say? Pros. There's what I wanted. Concerning all things, or these things. Now okay, I see what I was doing. That's what happens when I don't double check my notes. This is tutos. This is near demonstrative. I'm running off several pages of notes sometimes. And that's what I was doing. Concerning or facing all things is what it actually says. Cross out the panta and, just put tutos. I'm going to have to go back and do this when I get this out. If I ever get it out, I will have the verses in here. I had intended to do that. And I think they're probably on my notes. What shall we say to these things? These things that he's going to provide. Who can be against this? Who? Interesting. It's a tis. and who indeed did not spare his son. Okay, now let's move on and down to the next one, which is two toys. And two toys is found. This is crazy because I had worked this in verse 31. I am having no fun with this because I didn't put my verses in. Two toys. Where are you hiding? Near demonstrative 31. Oh man, this is super important to what I want to say. Okay. Change horses. Get my list. I didn't depend it on my notes, and I didn't get dependent enough. Okay, here we go. Down here. Two toys. 31 is Tauta. Two toys. There it is. In all things. Okay. Oh, I didn't box that one. Okay. Okay, let's just move. Let me just pick them here. What do we say concerning these things? Okay, I got it now. I know where I am, I think. Let's jump to four. Number four is my, and that's down in 37. 37, number five is 37. Okay, I need to just take care of one more there. But anyway, you have these things. Let's read down to 37. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, it's interesting you have these, and they're demonstrative, and things, neuter, deity, plural, in this case. I'm sorry, I think I put another line in. I wasn't listening to a football game when this was going on. I had trouble with my sanctification yesterday. I wanted to see on my computer that Linfield game, and they're in their playoffs. And I have a terrible time with that video on computer. They just are not very adequate, and so I'm chopping all over trying to work on the side. Okay, don't blame it the computer. Okay, so now in all these things, so you have these is near demonstrative, and pasin is another neuter. And so you have two together here of these forms that are neuters that are driving a point. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors. The idea of being more than conquerors is the word nikao, which is a word for victory. Does anybody have Nikes on? Victory. They stole a Greek word, but they didn't steal the swoosh. Nike is a noun, which is for victory. Nikao is a verb. That is a verb here with a preposition in front of it, and it is huper. More than conquerors, more than victorious. And so, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. The idea through the agency of the one being loved, with the genitive, through the agency of him that has loved us. There's an aorist active participle. So in all of these things, and so what are we doing here? We're looking at 32, and it says, shall he not together with him graciously give us all things? This is when our position, from our perspective, becomes a possession. It is something future but it is imputed to us, then we can accept it as imputed reality. And in the future, this is going to happen. But God is not imputed reality, it's imputed actuality. He sees this as true together with Christ. Graciously given. And so you have this sense. Now it's so interesting when we look down through Romans 8 and begin to understand position in this context. There is no condemnation together with or in Christ in Romans 8:1 position. We have liberty. We are free. 8:2. Do I need to read these verses as I go? I will. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who, period, end. We don't have that next section. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, set me at liberty from the law of sin and death. In verse 17 of chapter 8, now we are joint heirs, or are together heirs in 8:17. And if children, or since children, heirs, then heirs. Heirs of God, together heirs with Christ. That's position in Christ, together with Christ. Since so be we suffer together with him, we will be glorified together with him. So you have the idea of heirs and suffering and glorification. In 8:30, it says, this matter of righteousness. And it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also declared righteous. And whom he declared righteous, he also glorified. So we have that as positional. Now, the declaration of righteousness in 31, it says, what shall we say? Whoops, that's not 31. Whom he glorified is in 30. And 30. Okay. Now, where I want to go now, I think we're just where I want to be. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. If you're following my outline, I have repeated what I had up in under Romans 1, just so that we would have them. These are things. But here, take a look at Ephesians 1:6. We were here. I didn't look at the date. I could have gone back and checked it and chose not to. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, and this is the beauty of this thing of imputation, because this was imputed to us. I think we drove it hard enough so that you would understand that we are highly favored, we are highly graced in the Beloved. Now, don't forget that is the same verb form that is used of Mary. And that's Ephesians 1:6. And it's used of Mary in Luke 1, verse 28. It's a verse there, active indicative. And it says, wherein he has favored us in the Beloved, or graced us in the Beloved. This is a position. We are in the sphere of favor because we are in Christ, which is the sphere of favor. And so we have that very clearly done. So that's a position we have right now. But it's kind of interesting. He's going to favor us after the rapture. We can count that to be true like he does, but he counts it as actual, not just reality. And so when we get to our Romans passage, it's he graciously has given us all things together with Christ. Without the soon, without the togetherness, that doesn't happen. And soon is that marker. We have gone through these and they all flow together very neatly. They fit together like a perfect jigsaw puzzle as they're placed together in this picture. And so it's interesting when we understand the thing of being in a state of being favored in Christ. We are graced. If you want to call it a state of grace, you can. But really, it's imputed grace. in Ephesians 1:6. And what is imputed to us in the future as a reality for us to look at as a reality is something that at the rapture, it will become an actuality. And it will go on and on and on and on when we think in these terms. And so it's important to recognize how this condition of favor of grace. We live in the dispensation of grace. We have positional grace. God sees us in that total favored position. In the future, we will inherit all things as the program of God comes together at that point for us to become participants in possession of all things in the future. And we'll be in spirit and grace like we never, ever could imagine when we relate to that. So, interesting verse. But when you bridge it back to Ephesians 1:6, you can see this imputed reality carries. And that becomes a very, very special truth that helps us in our reflective thinking. Father, may you guide us and direct us. We'll thank you as we continue to think on these things. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.